And yes, they'd been very close. He'd been her friend, her confidant, her mentor, her modeling agent, and even her landlord. She'd been living in the small cottage behind his mansion ever since he'd talked her into walking out of that coffee shop in Portland where she'd been working when he'd come to town for his ex-wife's funeral. But he'd never been Sloane's lover. He'd never even hinted at any romantic interest, and that wasn't what she'd felt for him either. The size of the lump in her throat threatened to choke her as she straightened. But she had a lot to do, couldn't focus on the loss or the pain. She'd survived thus far in life by always looking forward, never back, and the next few days would be busy. She had to pack up her belongings and move. Clyde's estate would go to his heirs, the same group of people who were waiting for her to leave. They'd given her notice months ago that they planned to put the place up for sale as soon as he died. She gripped her purse a bit tighter with her left hand while turning so that she could wave with her right. Facing Clyde's family, even for that brief moment, wasn't easy. She could feel the gale force wind of their disapproval pressing on her back, threatening to blow her right out of the cemetery. Only a couple of them bothered to acknowledge her in return. Even then, the responses were half-hearted. "Doesn't matter," she told herself. Clyde had loved them, which meant she'd always treat them kindly. She'd also abide by their wishes regarding the house. Even though she'd earned plenty of money since coming to New York and had tried to talk him out of it, Clyde had left her part of his vast fortune. Not nearly as much as each of his kids, but some. That was probably the reason they seemed to hate her even more since he died, but she was going to accept his gift just as he'd wanted her to. He'd said he was grateful for the hours of thoughtful conversation she'd provided over the years, the scuba diving trips they'd taken together to Hawaii, the atolls of the Maldives and Australia, the late-night laughter, and all the hard things she'd had to do in order to care for him over the past 14 months while he battled bladder cancer. None of his children had been able to help for longer than a couple of hours here and there. They were too busy with their own lives. They'd suggested hiring a nurse, but Sloane had refused to leave his care to a stranger in case he'd feel as if, now that he was no longer able-bodied, he was to be cast aside while the rest of the world moved on. To avoid that, she'd given up her career. She'd hated knowing that his days were numbered, had wanted to spend as much time with him as possible. She probably wouldn't have worked for much longer anyway. Modeling wasn't any fun without him. He was so good at shepherding her from one pinnacle in the high fashion world to the next. She couldn't imagine continuing with someone else, couldn't bring herself to replace him. It was his intervention that had pulled her out of her desperate circumstances in the very beginning and had given her some semblance of a life. A life, as it turned out, that many people now envied. Representing brands like Prada, Gucci, and Dolce & Gabbana certainly sparkled on the outside. Sloane was grateful for what she'd achieved, but in this moment, it felt as though that chapter of her life, the New York chapter, had come to a close with Clyde's death. So she decided finally to close the chapter she never had. The Mill Creek chapter. The one she'd run away from so many years ago. She owed it to her mother. And who could say? Maybe Sloane's instincts had been wrong all along. Maybe she owed it to her father and brother to find the truth too and dispel all suspicion. Her phone rang as she climbed into her Jaguar. Caller ID revealed a Texas area code. She frowned as she stared down at it. It had to be her new landlord. Other than Paige Patterson, Paige Evans now, her closest friend from high school who'd reconnected with her last year on social media, her landlord was the only person who knew she was returning to town. Her finger hovered over the talk button. Just thinking about going back to Mill Creek twisted her stomach into knots. Was she ready to return? No, but she wasn't sure she'd ever feel ready, and she doubted there would be a better time to do battle with her father. She'd come to a natural break in her career. She had the financial wherewithal to be able to live without an income. And thanks to the strength she'd received from Clyde's unwavering support, she now had the determination to finally achieve the answers she sought, no matter what it meant. At least she hoped she had the determination. Her father had trained her and her older brother to believe that loyalty mattered above all else, even truth. Would she be able to cross him? After drawing a deep breath, she answered. "Hello?"
"Miss McBride."
"Yes?"